Generous tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans would be delivered in a sweeping overhaul of the tax laws under a new agreement crafted by Republicans in Congress. Middle and low-income families would receive smaller tax cuts, though President Donald Trump and Republican leaders have billed the package as a huge benefit for the middle class. The agreement reached Wednesday combines key elements of separate tax bills recently passed by the House and Senate, striking compromises on some of them. Republicans are pushing to deliver the final legislation to President Trump before Christmas. Illinois' senior Democratic Senator Dick Durbin doesn't like what he sees. GLT's Ryan Denham spoke with Durbin by phone from Washington this morning.
On Wednesday, there was news that House and Senate negotiators had reached an agreement on a final version of the bill, even if the details of that agreement are not really known yet. What do you know about how this final bill looks?
Well, I can tell you that the details of the bill have not been disclosed to members of Congress. We are leaving for the week. We'll be returning next week, and on Monday or Tuesday, asked to vote on it. I will tell you, based on my experience, I can guarantee you that finally, a week or two from now, someone's going to read the detailed language and say, whoops, we made some mistakes. And when you think about the tax code that affects the economy of our country, every business, every family, every individual, we should take the time to get it right as best we can. Unfortunately, that's not the approach that's been used here. It's been done on an expedited, fast basis, and I'm afraid that at least the way we're doing it raises serious questions about the value of the product.
At this point, is there anything that Democrats like you can do if they have concerns to shape this thing, or is it pretty much in Republican leadership hands?
No, this is strictly a partisan measure, and they use a process used around here rarely, but it's become kind of common, called reconciliation. And what it basically means is the Republicans don't need to work with anybody. They just force it through. If they can get their ranks to support it, they don't need Democratic votes. There are four Republican senators, as we speak at this moment, who are still uncertain about what they'll do. If any three of them vote against it, then the whole process stops. But there are no Democrats in the Senate who have supported this measure. And the reason's obvious. Any proposal for tax changes that gives massive tax giveaways to the wealthy, and I might add the conference committee, cut taxes on the wealthiest Americans even more, tax breaks to big corporations, adds $1.4 trillion to our national debt for our kids to pay back, and fundamentally challenges the future of Medicare and Medicaid, that kind of approach is not going to get bipartisan support from Democrats.
You've had some serious concerns about the House and Senate versions as they've moved through to passage. So other than process, what are your top concerns as of how it looks today?
I'm for tax reform. I'm for tax cuts. But here's how it should have been done. We should have taken a look at some of the provisions of the tax code now that are just giveaways, something called carried interest, which gives some of the wealthiest people in this country reduced tax rates when they frankly haven't done anything to earn them. That most people, even candidate Trump, came out against carried interest. That could have been eliminated, and the savings from that could have been used to reduce the tax burden of middle-income families. That's where I would have gone. Make this progressive. Do you know how many wealthy Americans from Illinois have knocked on my door and said we desperately need a tax cut? None. Not one. And yet that is the highest priority in this bill. I think it's a mistake. And I think our kids and grandkids may look back and say, how did this deficit get worse in 2017? Didn't they know they were leaving us with the responsibility of paying for tax cuts for wealthy people?
What's the latest with the individual mandate from the Affordable Care Act? One version of the bill had it removed, the other didn't. Will that make it through? And if it does, what do you think that'll mean for impact on American health care?
I know what impact it'll have. It means 13 million Americans will lose their health insurance, including a lot in Illinois, and that the cost of health insurance premiums is going to go up 10 to 20% because of that provision. Here's what it says. Everybody in this country has an obligation to buy health insurance. If you decide not to, you pay a penalty. If they buy health insurance, it turns out many people, particularly in lower income categories, get a pretty healthy, strong subsidy for their health insurance premium. So we tried to give a reward or an incentive for lower-income folks to buy health insurance and say to those who are just adamant they're not going to buy it, there's a price to pay. Why do we do this? Because because we know when you look at the insurance pool, the people who are signing up for insurance, there'll be a lot of older and sicker people who desperately need insurance and will sign up quickly. The younger invincibles are the ones who don't sign up. When you have a pool with largely older and sicker people in it, the premiums are going to be expensive. When you bring in balancing in that pool by having younger, healthier people, it starts to bring the premiums down. So the Republicans have said in the Senate, we're going to get rid of the mandate, and as a consequence, we know it'll happen. In premiums, health insurance premiums for Illinoisans and many Americans are going to go up 10 to 20%.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm on the line with Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, talking about the GOP tax plan. 2 weeks ago, a Canadian agricultural equipment manufacturer named Brandt Industries announced it was opening its first plant in the U.S., just outside of Normal here. I spoke with Brandt's president, and he said his decision to do that was influenced by this tax overhaul. He likes what it's signaling, particularly on the corporate tax rate. This is hundreds of jobs being created here. What's your response to that kind of comment from the business community?
I'm not surprised at what he said, and I certainly would have added in my list of things to do in tax reform, making sure that the corporate tax is not paid primarily by smaller and medium-sized companies. Right now, the tax code is written in a way that the biggest, wealthiest corporations end up with lots of friends and lots of attorneys and lots of advocates in Washington, and they get breaks on the tax code that smaller and medium-sized corporations don't receive. And so companies like the one you just mentioned probably falls in the medium to small corporate range. They end up paying the top rate, and the biggest companies, General Electric, paid zero in federal taxes a few years ago. What I think, if you're going to have fairness in the tax code and a corporate tax, which I support, it ought to be done so that the smaller and medium-sized companies, like the one you mentioned, don't end up carrying the burden. What they've done in this tax code reform is to give the tax break to the wealthiest, as the biggest corporations, and some of it to the smaller and medium-sized corporations. So from my point of view, they could have done this a lot better and encouraged businesses just like the one you mentioned to expand and to bring jobs to our state.
You've been critical of the GLP tax plan for the changes it could make to state and local tax deductions, or SALT, eliminating them in some cases. You cited this in a letter that you sent to Illinois Republican House members. They shot back that the majority of middle-income taxpayers in Illinois don't see a benefit from those deductions because they're only available to those who's itemized. What's your response to that, and why, in your opinion, are state and local tax deductions so important for Illinois?
We started with the basic idea. You should never have to pay a tax on a tax. If you pay $1,000 in property taxes on your home, you shouldn't be taxed on that $1,000. That's been a principle that's guided us for years, and it's basically going away with this Republican tax change. It means that those of us in states like Illinois, where we have a state income tax, state sales taxes, as well as property taxes, are going to end up paying taxes on those taxes paid. 20 to 25%, depending on where you live in the state, of the people who file their federal taxes itemize. In other words, they go through and look at what they actually spent as opposed to taking the standard deduction. Their taxes are going to go up. And I've said to my colleagues from the state of Illinois who are in the House and supporting this, why would you want to raise taxes on your own people? Why should you ask the people you represent to pay a tax on a tax? And I haven't gotten very far, to be totally honest with you. I think that there's a reason why the realtors of our state oppose this provision, why the home builders oppose this provision, why we have those who are interested in creating jobs and wealth and working families oppose it. It really is short-sighted to put this new tax burden on the people of Illinois. I don't know how those congressmen will come home and explain it.
It looks like the election of Democrat Doug Jones in Alabama won't have any immediate impact on the tax bill because he won't be seated until after the new year. But what was your reaction to his election this week?
Amazing to think that we elected a Democratic senator in the state of Alabama. For goodness sakes, why did it happen? Well, first, the Republican candidate was seriously flawed. Allegations made against him raised many concerns about his fitness to serve in the Senate, and some of the statements, public statements he's made during the course of his public career led to his being censured twice on the Alabama Supreme Court and really raised a question as to whether he even represented conservative Alabama. The second thing is, just like Virginia a few weeks before, people are kind of sending a message. They don't like what they see coming out of the Trump White House in Washington. And so we saw groups come forward in numbers that had never been seen before. African-American voters, women voters, younger voters, who are just saying they're protesting what they see happening in Washington, the change vote, if you will. Put those together, and it was an upset victory. It's a close one, 2 points, but an upset victory that nobody would have predicted just a few months back. I called Doug Jones yesterday. I congratulated him and said I look forward to serving. I think he'll probably be sworn in after the first of the year.
How do you think Doug Jones' election will change the battlefield in 2018? Does this give Democrats a chance to actually win back the Senate?
Well, I think it does show that there are forces at work in the American electorate who were unhappy with the outcome in the presidential election, have been unhappy with some of the policies coming out of this administration, and are going to get involved in ways they've never been involved before. I've seen that at a grassroots level. There are groups, invincible groups and other groups that have arisen that just didn't even exist a year ago, and they have become a powerful political force. They're running candidates for office. They're promoting candidates. They're getting involved in the process. The things that in a democracy you applaud. Many years back, go back 10 years, it was the Tea Party doing much the same thing, a kind of a grassroots Republican conservative effort. Now we're seeing on the progressive side that kind of grassroots effort. I think it's healthy in a democracy.
That's Dick Durbin, the senior Democratic senator from Illinois, talking about the Republican tax plan. I'm Ryan Denham.
Central Illinois Republican Congressman Rodney Davis and Darren LaHood supported the House version of the bill when it passed last month. Davis has raised concerns about a provision that would treat graduate student tuition waivers as taxable income. Multiple media outlets are reporting that provision will not make it into the final version.